This is WWM at Night, and we are here with Joseph Huber, Milwaukee-based songwriter and woodworker. He will be celebrating the release of his new album, The Hanging Road, at Linneman's this Thursday night. I want to welcome you again to the studio, Joe. Good to see you.
What's happening, Trapper?
I was just listening to your album today and was reminded of the idiomatic expression, you can't go home again.
Sure.
What does a same river twice mean to you?
That's actually about 7 month period that me and my wife had split up over our, we were together for 8 years before we married, and like right smack dab in the middle of that, we split up for a little while. And that was kind of like my song I wrote for her as a, like, hey, I was an idiot, and now let's, you know, let's try to, you know, jump into the same river twice and make it work this time. Like, kind of like, you know, it has like the fighting against the tide, fighting against the current kind of aspect to it, as in the famous phrase is, no man can go in the same river twice. Mm-hmm. As in, all is in flux, you can't go back. So this is kind of just like, well, forget that, let's, you know, somehow we can do it. And we did, you know, we're married now, have been happily married for a year.
Congratulations.
So,
yeah.
So that was my Hey Sorry I'm an Idiot song.
Could you do Same River Twice?
I can do that one, certainly.
Tides entering the same river for the second time.
musician and married man, Joseph Huber, live here in Studio C. Your wife must be a fan of that song.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Anyone well, that's about her, actually, I'm pretty sure like 90% of my songs have somewhat been about her. So she's probably just like jaded about it. Like, yeah, there's another one about me now. So.
And the other 10% are about drinking, the road.
Yeah. So well,
you were in Europe earlier in the year with your wife?
Yep. Yep. Brought her along that time.
Sort of
in
a
March,
honeymoon.
I was.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
The tour went well.
I haven't had many bad shows over there, certainly. There's more intimate ones, but there's still attentive people, you know. I haven't actually experienced this. I haven't been to the UK, but some friends of mine were just joking about when they went to the UK and they were talking to some people about, you know, just cool-sounding American things like the roads or something that have like a mystique, like the name, like Highway, you know, mm-hmm. Route 66 or something. Like everything like just an American, like folk music can happen here versus like in England where like the wording just wouldn't sound right. You can't just, you know, like what name of the roads just don't sound cool or something where you're. So like maybe there's a, yeah, there is a mystique of just like names and history here that is, they apply to folk music or something.
Well, the hospitality at the venues must be a lot different, too. It's not
that's
like,
excellent. So when I was in Philadelphia, like the guy that runs this place, and he has like a place that's like you eat here, you sleep above the bar, and he called it the European setup or something. I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. It's perfect. You get there and you load in and you're home. You don't need to go anywhere. Comfort and being home as soon as you walk into a place versus
two drink tickets
and good luck finding a hotel around here. You'll probably have to go outside of town, you know, find something affordable about 20 miles up the road.
I want to talk more about the production of the album in particular, mm-hmm. because one could listen to The Hanging Road. And when I did, I imagined a four-piece band playing in a dark mm-hmm. corner bar. But I come to later find out, of course, that it's a one-man production.
Yep. That's like six or seven of me in the morning drinking tea in my boxers or PJs. Yeah, just overdubbing myself here. So imagine seven of me in my boxers.
there are these spontaneous moments throughout the album, though, where it seems as if the band or the one-man band made possible by multi-track recording is just figuring out the songs for the first time. Did pressing all the buttons yourself give you more freedom to learn and record on the fly in your boxers in the morning?
Mm-hmm. In my boxers in the morning. Yeah, having a complete control is something that's very freeing. You can, you know, if I think, you know, there's been times when we've recorded songs back in the day in 357 where it's just like, that was way too fast, that was way too slow, mm-hmm. you know, that like those problems just don't happen, you know?
The record sound is more akin to something you'd hear on an old anthology of American folk music than anything pegged as folk mm-hmm. on, you know, pop radio today. Was that a conscious production approach or was it just, again, something that came naturally to you?
Kind of. I don't want to say it just like it's not what I'm going for because monetary issues of not being able to afford a better mic or a better system or something. But like, I like how it sounds.
It's a primitive approach that complements the songwriting.
I think so. Actually, what is it? Someone asked me this in an interview that they thought that I wrote my bio and that in my kind of promo thing, and it says that my album has the necessary roughness of like, and I was just like, and when I read that, I was like, hey, what does that mean? What's this? What are you saying? You know, but in the last two records, I figured a lot of things out and I feel like I've hit a point where I'm just like, okay, this sounds good. Like this is, it sounds like me, you know, and that's all you can go for, I guess. Yeah.
Can we hear another song?
Certainly can. What am I going to do here? I'm going to do a, this is more of a sentimental one here. This one's called Father, Why These Stones. I always say it's kind of a prodigal son story a little bit. It's like reaching a point in your life where you're kind of hit a certain low and you're trying to look back on or something to fall back on a little bit to save you a little bit, whether it's family or friends and things like that. And I'm a fairly impractical human being and I often kind of like down on myself, like, man, what the hell went wrong with me kind of thing. So, and it's kind of for my dad a little bit, so. and family, I guess. So, Father, why these stones?
Father, why these stones, how they break our hearts? What do they mean? It's hard to tell. Born restless inside heaven's ungrateful gates, so he turned it all into hell. Now my branch is once young and tender, leave it a pile of dying embers. Father, why these stones? Father, why these stones? Well, the days roll down in our homes we lay under a slowly fading sun, and we drank our memories into their graves while we toast to all things young. Do you remember, brother, you and me, stealing ecstasy to throw against the widest tree, and lightly we'd run? How guiltless we'd run. Well, our cups were filled and our doubts were still, as we laid down in our bed. So free of fear, so we toiled the years, composing ghosts inside our heads. Now as those youthful days do leave, now nothing more than the air we breathe, with sorrow in their stead. Only sorrow in their how we stumble freely into the dark, find our gods all made of stone, leave our poor dear mothers with broken hearts, while our angels aimlessly roam. And we took all our greatest chances on lost causes through faded glances, but took us far from home. Now I wanna go home. So we robbed the graves of older days just to see where we went wrong, and we speak their words and we walk their ways. Sing loud the old time songs, and we inscribe their words that give us rest on the tablet of our living breast as it carries us along. But won't you carry me along? Carry me along.
Father, Why These Stones, live in Studio C. I was reminded in listening to that about your last interview here. You mentioned your dad saying to you at an early age, the best way to end your music career is to start one in woodworking.
Yeah.
And that you could pretty easily lose a finger.
Yeah.
Has he lightened up?
Oh, certainly. Front? Yeah, I think he likes my stuff now.
His whole house is filled with your cabinets and chairs.
No, my mom definitely wants one to put in my room, though, so at home. So I might be working on that this winter time for him. But no, I think he's lightened up a little bit about that. And he's certainly one of my biggest music fans, so I'm sure he's still worried about it a little bit. But
how is having your parents being supportive of you influenced your music career and your songs in particular?
Maybe that's why I'm not in a punk rock band right now, because my parents just supported my music no matter what I did so much. I had no one to be rebellious against, you know? Like, you're awesome. Just do it. Great. Like, thanks. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
What were some of the records that your dad was playing when you were growing up?
My dad likes a lot of pop music, actually. It was 60s pop. But I would say, like, the one probably that influenced me the most that I still listen to all the time this day is old 60s and 70s Jackson Browne. But otherwise, yeah, he listens to a lot of pop music that I'm not a fan of also. My dad likes 3 minutes and a good hook, and that's it, you know? So that's why he is always just like, in my more morose songs, he's just like, people don't want to hear that. Just give him, you got to grab him. Just get, you know, get a good hook, 3 minutes, have it be done.
Don't bore us, get to the chorus, as Tom yeah. Petty once said.
Nice, there you go. Yep, my dad would agree.
We also discussed last time about your woodworking and mm-hmm. how that informs your music. How did the pace of recording an album, particularly this album, compare to the pace of making say, a chair?
I would say in the furniture thing, there's still like a lot of creativity in designing it. But once you got the design, you know, it's just like production mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I just still feel like in the music and recording thing, like I never really entered production mode. I was always kind of just thinking, you know, the whole time about how this was going to sound. And, I wasn't prolifically just awesome at the recording stuff. So I'm constantly messing with things and learning as I go. And it was, and that's kind of how music is for me. I have to, I'm not the guy that sits down and says, all right, I'm going to write a song.
Just leave the windows and doors open.
There you go.
Let the breeze blow something in, kind of a songwriter.
Yeah.
So, of course, the songwriting and woodworking are two separate creative outlets. But do you find that, when you finish a piece or finish a song, you get the same sort of accomplished feeling?
Yeah, I guess songwriting a little bit more once I've finished a song, because that I feel like there's something that's like a rarity.
Magic.
About it. This is like, you know, sometimes I'll look back and I'll speak, I don't even know where that line came from. Okay, yeah. That's a good one, you know.
But with a piece of furniture, you can trace it back. You know, there was a tree.
And yes, then like everything is very tangible there, you know, versus there being some sort of ethereal aspect to mm-hmm. songwriting, you know, not to make it sound like I'm some friggin' prophet or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to claim anything like that. I'm just a guy who writes songs, but yeah, there's still something fun when you can surprise yourself or just be like, I don't know what that was. Okay, that's good.
So do you want to do one more?
Certainly, yeah. I'll do another one here. This is a kind of a broken love song, not necessarily autobiographical in the contemporary time of my life here, but this one's called Coming Down From You.
Coming down from sitting on a rainbow over town. Now the tears come down, I think I'll go and maybe throw on a raincoat. It's start looking for someone new. Coming down from you. Well, down on the ground, two little gray birds, all full of sound. Like any loves, giving one another just a few choice words. Just like we used to do. Coming down. Now there you go, you're bending my soul like a heavy snow. Till that bending seeds to brick and then I'm taking on a new load. Although I'm getting mighty used to coming down from you. Well, oh, waterfall, Lord, how I pleaded, oh, but don't we all? Don't we all do what we need to do when the doing's needed? Don't we all look like a fool coming down from you? Still coming down from you. That grass is growing. Wind don't forget blowing, or water forget flowing. Each keeping their word to the day of knowing. Every little one but you coming down from you. Well, I'm leaving town. I don't know where I'll land. I'll go another round. For a ticket to that gentle world, always waiting in the next hand. To the tune of a bull gone loose, I'll be coming down from you. To the tune of a bull gone loose, still coming down from you.
Coming Down From You, off of the terrific new album by Joseph Huber titled The Hanging Road. And there will be a celebration of sorts Thursday at Lineman's.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. It's going to be getting started pretty early, I think.
All right. Safe travels, Joseph Huber.
Thank you, Trapper, for
the tunes and conversation. Always
certainly.
A pleasure.
Thank you for having me down again. I must have done something right the first time. I don't know.
All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, take care, man.